Chapter 14.
Were we at the wrong well? Was this just this creature's home and not a magic well at all? And if so, why did it show up as the well we were looking for on the map? This had to be the place, but it didn't make sense. Instead of Nidhogg, there was a giant snake staring at us, and the look in his eyes told me we weren't exactly welcome guests in his home. The snake hissed again, and its tongue made another appearance as it eyed us curiously. Even if this was the wrong well, which I didn't figure it was since Ramir's spell wouldn't lie, we still wouldn't be able to leave freely. The giant snake had made that much clear when he blocked the entrance with his long body. Oh, Nidhogg's well must not be the one that led to Yggdrasil. This had to be the correct well, and it seemed we'd just found another guardian. I knew going to Nidhogg for the final vial would have been too easy. I'd sensed something was off earlier in the day, but I had no reason to think that way, so I'd ignored the feeling.
Rath?
Kaas said, and her voice shook slightly with panic.
What's going on?
I don't think this is Nidhogg's well, I said, but my eyes never left the snake in front of me. The beast's giant yellow eyes were locked onto mine.
Can you speak to this creature?
Asta inquired. The nature elf was always the optimist, and I was sure she hoped we wouldn't have to kill another creature, but I didn't like the way this beast was eyeing us, and I knew there was going to be a fight, regardless of if I could speak to him or not. I focused on the snake and tried to reach out mentally, but nothing happened. So I figured once again I couldn't speak to the well guardian. No, I told Asta.
He's not going to let us take the water freely, is he?
She asked, and I could hear the frown in her voice. I don't think so. I licked my lips as I watched the snake inch slightly closer to us. My hand was on my blade, so I could pull it out and attack at a second's notice, and Blar's little body was tensed on my shoulder. I knew the little dragon could feel my nerves, and he understood this snake was no friend of ours. As soon as I made a move to attack, Blar would follow, and I felt it wouldn't be long until that became a reality. The snake was huge, as large as Nidhogg, and even larger than the leopard I'd fought against at the Jotunheim well. I couldn't be sure, since it was from another realm, but I also thought it might be venomous. The shape of its head suggested it wasn't a snake to be messed with. Back home, when a snake had a triangular or pointed head, that meant it was venomous, whereas a rounded head meant it was generally safe. Oh, this snake's head was definitely the former, and if it did have venom hiding in its mouth somewhere, then I knew I didn't want to find it. With how large the creature was, I had no doubt one bite could secrete enough venom to kill me on the spot. Stay back, I whispered to the girls as I gripped my sword tighter.
Let us help,
Kaas urged.
Yes,
Asta added in hushed tones.
You can attack its head while we attack its body. Asta's right,
Kaas said.
Can't take all of us on at once.
I thought about my options, and figured that was the best one. The girls were right. It would be easier to take this thing out if we all worked together. Besides, there really wasn't any way to have the girls escape since the beast had the entrance blocked, and I doubted they would leave me unless I commanded them to. All right, but be careful.
You too,
Kaas said, as she placed her hand on my shoulder for just an instant. Then I sensed the girls back away from me, but the snake didn't seem concerned with them. The massive creature maintained eye contact with me, and I made sure to hold my chin high as I stared at it. I glanced over to Blar on my shoulder, and the little dragon caught my eye for a second before he looked forward again and nodded. I couldn't speak to him in my head like I had been able to with Nidhogg, but he and I had an even greater bond, and he was able to understand what I wanted with just the smallest of glances. I pulled my sword from its sheath and focused on the length of it, and the blade extended outward until it was nearly 5 feet long. I smiled to myself that I'd been able to alter the length so quickly. But the snake didn't seem impressed. The massive beast opened its mouth, and two huge fangs extended downward. They were at least as long as my sword, possibly longer, and I swallowed nervously. I'd gone up against plenty of foes before, but if there was one thing I wasn't fond of, it was snakes. I let the little gardener snakes stay around my house, but I killed any other snake I saw. The idea of them living near me made a shiver course down my spine, and just staring at this massive creature made me grimace. I'd been upset to kill the leopard, but I didn't feel the same about this snake. The monstrous serpent reared back, and I knew it was about to try and strike, so I quickly dove to the right, flipped over, and landed on one knee. Blah had flown off my shoulder when I dove forward, and he circled round us and waited for my signal. The massive beast struck forward, but it reared back when I moved out of the way. He didn't seem particularly interested in the girls, and I remembered the leopard had been the same way. It was as if they knew I was the one who needed the water from the well. I figured once the girls began to attack, the creature wouldn't be so inclined to leave them be. But until then, I was happy to have the beast's focus be on me instead of them. I could tell he would be a formidable foe. Not only was he massive, but he kept his eyes locked on me. There was mutual distrust in our gazes, and each of us watched the other and waited for someone to make the first move. Usually I liked to wait and let my opponent make the first move, but I wasn't sure I dared to give this creature the option to do that. The massive beast had already tried to strike at me once, and I didn't want to give him the option to do it again. Instead, I looked up at Blah and nodded. Then the little dragon flew behind the snake's head and unleashed the largest blue flame I'd ever seen him create. The snake immediately spun to the side, and when it moved, its giant body squirmed in agony. I saw, out of the corner of my eye, the girls begin their attack on the creature's tail. Ufe pounced on the ground and sent a shockwave up that moved the earth below him and flipped the creature's tail up into the air. Kaas took the opportunity to slice at the appendage with his sword, but the snake flicked its tail just in time to catch her in the stomach when she had her arms raised. The strawberry blonde flew backward, and she slammed into the obsidian rock, then slumped to the ground. My eyes widened, and my body tensed when the sorceress didn't get up. I was about to run over to her, but Asta caught my eye.
"I've got her!"
she yelled.
"Don't worry about us."
Ignoring what was happening over there was difficult, but I knew I needed to. I had to have faith the girls and the twins could handle themselves, so I looked up and saw the massive beast getting ready to strike at me again, and I leapt out of the way. The creature dove at me, and its fangs scraped the ground as I rolled out of the way again. Blah spiraled down to try and scratch at its eye, but the snake saw him coming, and it turned its head to snap at him. The little dragon nearly got caught by the beast's teeth, and I felt my blood boil even more. It was one thing to come after me, but to attack my dragon, that was another thing altogether. The creature had already hurt Kaas. I wasn't about to let him land another blow on one of my team. I gritted my teeth and readied my sword, and before the beast could turn away from Blah, I ran forward and sliced at its massive body. My blade punched through the serpent's scales and carved through its flesh, and the creature hissed loudly as blood poured from the slash in its scaly skin. Instead of the bright red blood I was used to, the blood that leaked from the snake was a distinct dark blue, so dark it almost appeared black. The cool substance splattered on my arms, and I grimaced as I thought how much more I disliked this creature because of it. The beast's nasty, nearly cold blood only made me feel that much better about slicing it up. This thing was barely alive. Its blood was so cold, and I couldn't wait to drain every last drop from it. Still, the creature was smart, and it reared back and contorted its sinuous form to block the wound I'd torn through its hide. Then Its tongue flickered out of its mouth with a hiss as it regarded me with cautious contempt. I glanced over to see Cass was back on her feet, and the girls were coated in the beast's blackish blood, too. They'd made a few good slices in the monster, but I saw some red mixed in there, and I knew the creature must have got them as well. It didn't seem as concerned about them still. It was focused on me. But if it lost enough blood, it wouldn't be able to focus on anything. I just had to do my part and let the girls do theirs. I readied my sword as the beast reared back to strike, but just as it sprung forward, Blah jumped in front of me and sprayed a blue flame right into the creature's eyes. The massive beast hissed in pain and threw its head back and forth as it tried to stop the flame from hitting it in the eyes. It seemed the creature couldn't close its eyes, though. It could only try and turn away from the flame, which was incredibly creepy, but also a good thing for us. "Keep going!" I shouted at Blah, and he started to dart around and breathe fire at the beast's eyes, even as the massive snake tried to avoid him. I took that opportunity to look around and see what I could use to my advantage. The rock walls around us were uneven, and it looked like I might be able to climb up one of them and get to the snake's height. If I could get up near the creature's face, then I'd be able to take it out far more easily. The head was the best place to attack pretty much anything, but especially snakes. They had no arms or legs to speak of, so if their head was injured, they were pretty much down for the count. Blah continued to fly around and go after the snake's eyes, and the massive creature whipped its head back and forth and tried to avoid the dragon while it snapped at him blindly. While Blah kept the beast busy, I ran over to the rocks and started to climb up. There was a ledge about 20 feet up, so I climbed as quickly as possible to get to it. I was nearly halfway there when the beast flailed its body and slammed into the rock next to me. Blah continued to attack its eyes, and I had to think it was nearly blind by now. But I knew that wouldn't stop this creature. The beast was determined to keep us out of its sacred well, and I couldn't blame it. The impact of the creature next to me nearly knocked me off the wall, but I caught myself with one hand and hung there until it pulled away. There was a large crack in the stone where the beast had hit, and I shook my head and focused on my grip. After that, I climbed at lightning speed until I got to the ledge above me. It was only a few feet wide, and about the same extended outward, so there wasn't much to stand on, but I'd have to make it work. Once I was up there, I yanked my sword from its sheath again, took a fighting stance, and looked down at the chaos around me. Blah had his talons in one of the beast's eyes, and the creature vehemently tried to fling him off, but his nails were dug in deep, and the little dragon wasn't letting go. Meanwhile, Ufe slammed into the ground and brought down several large chunks of rock from the wall, so the creature's tail was pinned to the ground, and Inga clung to Asta's shoulder, ready to assist however she could. Cass was steady on her feet as she used her great sword to chop at the creature's tail. Blackish blue blood splattered all over her, and she slashed again and nearly cut its tail in half. Asta used her axe to help Cass take out the beast's tail, but the boulders wouldn't hold forever, and I saw the creature try to wriggle out from under them. I needed to kill this thing before it caused any more damage. The creature flailed its body as it tried to avoid the attacks, but it was so massive that it could do some serious damage without intending to. I carefully watched its movements, and then I focused on my sword and made it extend to nearly 8 feet. Once it was long enough, I raised the blade up behind my head and waited for the perfect moment. The snake flung its body toward me, and its giant neck was exposed. This was my chance. I let out a war cry as I leapt from the ledge and plummeted down toward the snake, and the beast stayed still just long enough for my blade to come down on its back. The razor-sharp edge of my sword tore through the creature's flesh, and I caught it at the right angle to take off its entire head in one fell swoop. I tumbled and landed on the ground, and then I turned back to see black blood spray out from the wound where the beast's head used to be. The creature's head flew across the courtyard and bounced up against the wall, and the jaw continued to snap blindly, even though it was dead. I stood up and took a deep breath as the beast's body fell to the ground and writhed around for a few seconds before going still. That was just one more reason I hated snakes. Even after they were dead, they still continued to move. The snake's jaw could bite down for quite a while after it was killed, which was why I always made sure to bury them at my house. I didn't think I'd be burying this one, though. I looked over at where the massive head laid on the ground and continued to snap at nothing. Bla had done a number on its eyes. The yellow slits were now charred flesh, and dark drips of its blood ran down and looked almost like tears. Its scaly eyebrows were torn to bits as well, and the green skin around its eyes was now black from Bla's flame. I quickly glanced round to find the rest of my team. Bla was up in the air, but he landed on my shoulder, and I reached up to push his small face against my own. "Oh, good job, buddy," I scratched under his chin and then grabbed him to hold him out in front of me. "Are you hurt at all?" The little dragon shook his head, and a quick look over him revealed he was correct. I didn't find any cuts or puncture wounds, only some dirt and a little bit of snake blood. Once I had established Bla was okay, I turned around to find everyone else. Kaas, Asta, and the twins walked toward me, and I met them in the middle of the courtyard, near the large white well. "Is everyone okay?" I asked quickly as I looked them up and down.
"We're fine,"
Kaas assured me. "I saw you get thrown against the wall." I placed my hands on the side of her head as I looked her over.
"I'm fine,"
the sorceress said with a small smile.
"It's just a few bruises, I think."
"How's that?" I asked as I reached down, placed my hands on her ribcage, and pushed lightly.
"A little sore."
"Well, and this?" I asked as I moved my hands lower and pressed on her abdomen. Kaas winced in pain, and I immediately started to pull her tunic up so I could look at her.
"It's fine,"
she insisted as she tried to grab my hands.
"Just a bruise."
"Let me see," I commanded, and I yanked the tunic up to reveal her belly. There was a large red mark across her. But what was more concerning was the slash from her belly button over to her side. It wasn't deep, but it was long, and there was some purple bruising around it already. "Kaas," I frowned.
"It's okay, I have some healing salve."
"Where is it?" I asked, and I reached for her bag.
"We can do it later, you need to get the water."
"The water be damned," I muttered as I grabbed her satchel and reached inside. The magical purse was incredibly deep, and it took me 3 tries before I pulled the salve out. But once I had it, I immediately opened it and rubbed some onto her stomach. It was the same salve she'd used on me before, and I knew it would take a few hours for the wound to be completely healed. But I was grateful to know it would take away her pain. She'd be fine, I knew that. But it was still hard to see her with such a large gash. The snake's massive tail must have hit her with some serious force to cause such a large wound. She was a warrior, though, and I was proud of her efforts. A few battle scars never hurt. I had a couple myself. They were also incredibly sexy when healed, but I shoved the thought out of my mind for now. "Is anyone else injured?"
"No,"
Asta said, but I looked her up and down and saw a couple cuts on her legs. I put salve on them, even though she told me not to, and then I checked out the twins as well. Inge and Ufe were unscathed, so I simply gave them pats on their heads and told them what a good job they'd done. I knew part of that was Kaas and Asta. I had no doubt the two women had done whatever they could to protect the small dragons, and I was grateful to them for it. I knew they cared about the dragons as much as I did. "All right," I said as I stood up and looked around. "Let's get the water." Then I turned to face the well, but when I did, I heard Kaas gasp.
"Wrath!"
"What is it?" I asked as I whirled back around, and my eyes darted to the snake's corpse.
"You have a cut on your back."
I didn't feel anything, but when I reached back and pulled my hand away, There was bright red blood there. Oh, the adrenaline must have stopped me from feeling any pain.
You were worried about us,
Cass muttered as she pulled the salve out of her satchel again.
And here you are with a huge cut on your back.
I didn't feel it, I shrugged.
I'm not surprised. It is so much more difficult to feel things after battle. My whole body gets tingly. That's your adrenaline. It feels good.
Asta grinned. I chuckled at the elf girl's expression. She was so delicate and beautiful, it was quite funny to see her get excited about battle. How bad is it? I asked when Cass spun me around so she could put some salve on me.
It's quite large,
she said, and I could hear the frown in her voice. I must have gotten the wound when I jumped from the ledge and decapitated the snake. Its spine must have cut me in the process. I could see the bones sticking out of its body still, so I wouldn't be surprised if it had managed to snag me on my way down. Either that, or the massive beast had caught me more than I thought when it slammed me into the wall as I climbed up.
There,
Cass announced after a moment.
Well done. You should be healed in a few hours.
Oh, so should you, I smiled playfully.
Yeah. You're the one who has to save the dragon, so we can't let anything happen to you.
I couldn't do it without you all, I said sincerely, and I looked at each of my team members in turn.
We are happy to be a part of this,
Asta smiled. I'm happy you are, too. I meant what I'd said. There was no way I could complete the prophecy without my women and my dragons by my side. They'd done a good job fighting today, and that snake would have been far more difficult to take out on my own. The massive creature had put up a good fight, which I thought was fitting, considering it was the last guardian of the Wellwater we needed. We now would have all three, and be able to fulfill the prophecy. It was the Guardian's job to mind the wells, and even though we'd assumed the well with the snow leopard was the most powerful one, I was beginning to think the one we were at was even more powerful. I was sure there was a reason why the well was guarded, and that we were only able to defeat the creatures and get the water because it was meant to be. Some other people may have tried to take water from them before, for bad purposes. I wasn't sure what the water would do once we had all three of them together, but the two we had already glowed when they were near each other. There had to be some sort of spell or magic involved, though I couldn't say what it was. The girls and I walked over to the well and peered inside. The water was black-looking, and I couldn't see the bottom at all. It looked as if it went on forever and ever.
Here,
Cass said as she handed me the last vial. The container was short, round, and purple, and I stared at the thing for a second before I reached out and took it from the sorceress. She smiled softly at me as I pulled the cork out of the top of the container. It felt strange to be at the last well. I felt accomplished that we'd been able to take out the massive snake who had been the guardian of the place, but it was also strange knowing my quest was almost over. I would soon be able to free all the dragons, and the thought made my heart rate speed up with excitement. I smiled as I held the vial down into the water to let it fill up. The small container didn't take long to fill with water, and when I pulled it out and put the cork on, it immediately started to glow as well. Cass pulled the other two vials out of her satchel and held them up. The three of them all glowed brightly, and we stared at them for a moment before I handed Cass the final vial to put back into her bag with the rest of them.
What do we do now? We have to find Needhugsville. The map won't tell us where his well is, right? No.
Cass frowned.
Apparently my father was wrong. It seems odd Ramir didn't know something.
Asta looked at Cass with wide eyes.
I know.
The Valkyrie smiled.
I can't wait to see the look on his face when I tell him he was wrong. Cass!
Asta gasped, and she laughed and smacked Cass on the shoulder.
What? I've never gone to tell him he was wrong before.
Somehow I didn't think Cass was lying. I was shocked Ramir had been wrong as well. The old man seemed to know everything. Is there a spell we can do that will show us where it's at? I asked, in an attempt to get us back on topic.
There has to be,
Cass said, and she reached into her satchel to pull out her spellbook. We'd assumed the well we were going to was Nidhugg's well, but that wasn't the case. I wondered if someone had mixed up Nidhugg with that giant snake, and that was how the story of the well-being guarded by Nidhugg had begun. Kaas looked through her spellbook, and after a moment she held the book out.
Here we go!
She smiled. What do we have to do?
I don't have a compass.
Kaas bit her lip.
But I could maybe make one if we got some sticks.
Okay. Hold on. I wandered around for a second until I found a couple of small twigs, and then I brought them over to Kaas. The sorceress used some twine from her purse to tie the twigs together before she closed her eyes and waved her hand in front of the twigs. The sticks suddenly turned into a small compass of the same size, and I was once again astounded by her illusion magic.
All right,
Kaas said as she held the compass up.
Now we just have to cast it. Asta, I could use your help. Of course.
The elf girl smiled.
And Rat, you too.
Me? How can I help?
If Asta and I touch you while we're casting, it will boost our magic. You make us stronger.
Oh, well. All right, then. I smiled and stepped closer to the girls, happy to be of some use with their magic. Kaas set the map on the ground, and then she put the compass on it, closed her eyes, and reached out to Asta. The two of them each reached out to me as well, and I held their hands and watched as they started the spell. The girls began to murmur something in the old language. It looked similar to the spell Ramir had cast for us, but this time a golden sparkle moved the compass over the map, and instead of the map changing, it just lit up gold for a second, and then faded all at once.
All right,
Kaas said as she let go of my hand and opened her violet eyes. Oh, that's it?
It should be.
The sorceress nodded.
It's similar to the spell my father did for us, but we know the veil is in this realm, so all we had to do was have the map show us where it is.
Let's go, then, I grinned. Once again, the girl's magic had saved the day. If we hadn't been able to cast this spell, we could have wandered around Niflheim for hours, or even days, looking for Nidhugg's well. Even with Bla's teleportation, we wouldn't be able to find it easily. We were lucky he'd managed to get us as close to this well as he had. Kaas picked up the map and looked at it, but when she did, her eyebrows scrunched together, and a confused look came over her face. What is it? I asked as I walked around to look over her shoulder, and Bla leaned forward off my shoulder to get a better look too.
This can't be right. It says we're right here.
Asta frowned.
It shows we're already at the well.
The little golden X that marked Nidhugg's well was right over the top of the well we were standing at. The X was literally inside of the well on the map, and my own eyebrows pulled together with confusion. What in the world? I whispered as I leaned in to make sure my eyes weren't deceiving me.
Did we do the spell incorrectly? No.
Kaas shook her head.
It was right. The map is accurate. How can that be? I don't know.
Kaas bit her lip and looked at me.
I'm not sure what to do.
Well, you're sure it's correct?
I'm positive.
Kaas nodded. All right, I said, and I took a deep breath and walked over to the well. I peered down inside the dark water, and suddenly realization dawned on me. We have to go through the well.
What?
Kaas asked, and she looked at me with wide eyes.
How do you know?
I'm not sure. I just feel it. I think the wells are connected somehow.
I guess that would kind of make sense, given what the map says.
Kaas pursed her lips.
Yes, that could be why they're the same on the map. Maybe we are under Nidhugg's well.
If we were in some sort of upside-down world of Niflheim, then it was no wonder this well looked exactly like Nidhugg's, only the opposite in color. The two wells had to be connected somehow, and that was why they looked so similar. The whole area looked like where we'd been before, which was probably why Bla was able to get us so close when he'd made the portal. He'd focused on Nidhugg's place where we'd been, but he'd taken us here instead. It worked out, since we were able to get the water we needed, but now we needed to find the great dragon and finish the quest.
What if we aren't, though? What if the well doesn't go anywhere? It has to go somewhere. Most wells don't, They just go into the ground.
Blah bumped his head into mine, and I turned to look at him. The little blue dragon looked at me and then down at the well. He was trying to tell me he could check. Oh, can you teleport through it? I asked. Blah nodded his little head, and I let out a breath and thought for a moment. I'd seen him teleport through space, and since he wouldn't be going extremely far, I figured it would be worth it to let him go. I didn't like the idea of him teleporting alone, but he had to get to know his powers on his own, too, and I could somehow feel that the well led to Nidhogg's well. All right. You can go. Just be careful, and if you get into any trouble, come right back here. Blah nodded before he closed his eyes, and a little portal appeared over the top of the well. Then the little dragon jumped down from my shoulder and into the portal on top of the well. The portal disappeared a second later, and everything seemed quiet for no particular reason.
Do you think he can find Nidhogg's well?
Asta asked, and she looked at me with wide eyes. I think so, I nodded.
I hope he's okay.
Kaas bit her lip and looked down into the well. Oh, he'll be fine. My voice was confident, but I was worried as well. I had faith in the little dragon, though, and I knew he'd be back soon. While we waited, I glanced around at the courtyard and took in the destruction around us. The giant snake was in two pieces, and the courtyard was covered with its dark blood. I hoped my feeling was right, and the well led to Nidhogg instead of another giant snake. The map agreed with me, though. There was something about the well. It wasn't only what it appeared to be. A minute passed, and there was still no sign of Blah.
What's taking him so long?
Asta worried, and she peered down into the well as if she could see him below the water.
We should go after him.
Not yet. I shook my head. The little dragon hadn't been gone long, and jumping into the well and hoping it would take us where I felt it was not going to be a good idea unless we were all together. It was best for us to stay put and wait. Then another minute passed, and I started to worry too. I could feel my heart rate accelerate, and it took every ounce of my willpower not to jump into the well.
Look!
Asta gasped, and she pointed into the well. I looked over the edge to see Blah headed straight up at us. The little dragon splashed through the water, landed on the side of the well, and shook himself off. He splashed me when he dried himself, but I was too happy to see him to care. Well, does it lead to Nidhogg? The little dragon nodded, and I smiled and reached out to stroke under his chin. Ah, good job, buddy.
He came back up through the well. Should we go through the well or have him make us a portal?
Blah nodded down at the well. I guess we're going through the well, I shrugged. Not too long ago, jumping through a magical well to get to the other side of it where a massive dragon waited for me would be the craziest thing I'd ever done in my life. Now, it wasn't even the craziest thing I'd done that week. It felt amazing to have magic in my life, and I climbed up onto the ledge of the well and held out my hand for Kaas and Asta. The girls pulled themselves up with the twins on their shoulders, and then we all glanced at each other. Are you ready? I asked, and I couldn't help the smile that came over my face. We were nearly done with the quest.
I don't know.
Asta bit her lip.
It looks like a long way down.
Don't worry. I smiled at the elf girl. We'll be okay. Just trust me. Asta smiled, and I held my hands out so both the girls could grab them. Once I had both their hands held in mine, I looked at each of them one last time before we jumped. This was the last time everything would be the way it was. I didn't know how this water was going to change my life, but the Norns had warned me nothing would ever be the same again. I was ready, though. The dragons were counting on me to fulfill the prophecy and my destiny. One, two, three. I smiled and leapt into the well with my women and my dragons right beside me.